Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is June 4th, 2019. Well, perhaps you should have sold in May and gone away, but like me, you probably didn't. And well, June is another story. But with us now is Mickey Fulp for our monthly major market roundup for May of 2019. And Mickey was, the markets, the gods, the stock market gods can just turn on you on a dime, can't they?
Well, it's certainly true. And there was a major market meltdown over the last week of May. So if you were going to sell in May, you always need to sell in early to mid-May and not wait till the end. Dow closed at 24,815, down almost 7%. S&P 500, same loss at about 27,52. It closed. NASDAQ lost almost 8%, 74,53. And it was a broad market downturn with the Russell 2000 losing almost 8% to close at 1465. This was all predicated on Trump's trade tariff tweets, especially the markets did not like the threat of tariffs on Mexico. And it really took everything down toward the end of the month. You know, we during the month or a month ago, we were all-time highs on the NASDAQ, all-time highs on the S&P 500, and only about a percent off of all-time highs for the Dow.
Yeah, well, I wonder if Trump broke the economy when he did that. But you can debate the wisdom of such a move, but it's totally understandable in what he's trying to accomplish. So when we look at our other markets, TSX, not quite as bad, the carnage there.
Yeah, for some reason, the Canuck markets have outperformed this year. I think a lot of this, even with the emerging market country index, the U.S. is really catching up with the downturn in the rest of the world. TSX, big board, 16,038, down 3% on the month. Toronto Venture Exchange lost 1.5% to close at 602. But if we look at these indices, they've outperformed this year with the TSX now about up 6% on the year. The Venture Exchange up around 8%. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Emerging Market Index, the same thing. It was down 7.5%. Actually, I guess that's about equal to the U.S. markets. Weak economy in China, the Chinese trade tariffs, that's really what leads that index. It closed at 998, down 7.5% on the month. And meanwhile, the volatility index, the VIX, pushed up toward 19 at the end of last week, the end of May. Still not high volatility, but up 5 points on the month.
Yeah, that's a pretty good move for the VIX. And now, as usual, you can expect it to decay and go back down to that low teens. That kind of has been its pattern. And there was only 1 month where it actually went above 20, closed out the month, and that was back in October. So,
Well, I would say if that happens and volatility goes back down to the low teens, it means that these dire predictions of it's over and a recession is coming are ridiculous, have no real basis in fact, if you will.
Yeah, and we've been hearing these doomsday predictions for quite some time, and invariably they have been wrong. So unless everything has changed and the trend has changed, they'll be wrong again. Hey, let's look at our money prices here, dollar, euro, 10-year, Bitcoin.
Well, the dollar remains strong. It closes at 97.74, up to, 19 basis points on a month. But really, the strength of the U.S. dollar, and with the major market meltdown at the end of May, the dollar is increasingly becoming a safe haven, along with gold. We'll talk about that in a bit. Euro continues weak, at 112. Part of that probably is predicated by the fact that their European Union elections, the Greens and the far right, really carved in toward the status quo political left of center, Euro pseudo government, if you will. Big news on the Monterey carry, I think, is the 10-year T-bond.
Oh my God.
At a 3.5-year low, closed at 2.14%. That's a 16% loss on the month. This leads to speculation that the Fed will actually drop rates this year versus the three or four interest rate rises that Powell proposed in December.
Yeah, and we're seeing the yield curve inverting.
True. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'd kind of forgotten that in the last 4 days, but the yield curve has been inverted for the last week and strongly inverted. When it became partially inverted or weakly inverted about a month ago, that passed very quickly. But, you know, we've been without a recession for quite some time now, and it's overdue. The U.S. economy, U.S. dollar, is really protecting the rest of the world from that sort of situation, in my opinion.
And we'll see how long it can go on for. Hey, and not to be outdone, the best performer of this month as well as last month.
Bitcoin has a revival. It's got its second wind here. It closed at 85.13, up well over 60% on the month. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, it speaks for itself. I forget the Latin term for that in the law, but in any event, hey, let's look at our metals here. So, hey, finally.
Well, Kerry, it wouldn't surprise me as you are a reformed lawyer, right? Yeah.
Recovering.
Recovering, never reformed. I'm sorry. Yeah, I knew it started with an R-E someplace.
Yeah, it's a 12-step program, and it's very, very ugly. You don't want to know about it, trust me.
Okay, we'll leave that subject for another time.
Yeah, so hey, getting to our metals here. So finally, gold caught a bid.
Well, it did, and it's safe haven demand. It surged the last couple of days last week with a market meltdown, went above 1305 for the first time in several months. 1.7% gain because it is a safe haven. Silver, which is not a safe haven, lost 2.5% to close at 1456. Platinum has come back down to make a triple bottom, closed below 800, 791, down almost 11% on the month. Buy signal, strong buy signal for platinum again, especially with the triple bottom. The technical analysts will tell you that's important. If it goes below that, who knows, but I don't really expect it to. Meanwhile, palladium with lost 4% as it reached its exponential peak about 3 months ago, closed down 4% on the month. And a lot of this has to do with the trade tariff talk, the tariff on cars from Mexico, which would tend, because it is an industrial metal used mainly in catalytic converters, did not bode well for palladium on the week. Going on to copper, another industrial metal.
Yeah, copper, there was a real bloodbath this month, Mickey.
Well, it closed at 262. That's a 2-year low since it first gained on infrastructure build out talk in Congress. But the trade tariff talk, as a leading economic indicator, and especially for industrial metals, it closed at 262, down 10% on the month. Who knows where it's going to go? I mean, I guess what I would say is that the fundamentals of the industrial metal complex, and especially copper, remain strong. China has a build-out, a stimulus build-out infrastructure going right now. Iron ore went above $100 a ton for the first time in 5 years. Wow. Toward the end of May. And if you really think about it, if you're going to construct a bunch of buildings or housing units or whatever you're doing, what's the first thing you need? Well, you need steel to make the structure. And what follows that as finished work is done is copper to carry the electricity. So bodes well for the copper market going forward. We just need to get through these trade snafus right now.
Yeah, and the average home uses over 200 pounds of copper. So that's not a lot of money in terms of absolute dollars there when you get down to it, you know, $600 of raw material.
Yeah, consider that there's well over a million new housing starts in the U.S. every month. So anyway, going forward, copper looks very bullish. We just can't tell you when Trump's going to decide to settle with everybody. He's sticking an elbow in their ribs right now.
Yeah, and it is everybody. Hey, just go back to gold, though. Seasonality, this is a really weak time of year for the yellow metal. And yet, on safe haven buying, it spiked.
Well, yeah, and I think the seasonal trends are always trumped, if you will, by safe haven demand in this case, or whatever is geopolitical risk, whatever is motivating the rise in gold. If you really look at the seasonality, and we've done extensive work on this, the early part of June is often a temporary little high in gold before it comes into the summer doldrums. As we speak today, gold is surged to 1323. And really, I think that's probably due to safe haven demand. The world's a little
on edge,
teetering on the totter right now in terms of economic health.
Hey, and then talking about disaster areas of the month for the markets, let's talk about energy. A lot of red on that chart this month.
Well, we actually had a major petroleum meltdown once again on this trade tariff talk throughout the month. First, it was China, then it was Mexico. What we saw is oil losing significant amounts last week. Closed at $53.50 for WTI. Brent closed at $64.49. So WTI lost 16%. Brent lost over 11%. And that's we'll look for recoveries in those markets at some point. I would say that the fundamentals of oil are very strong going forward. Natural gas, meanwhile, hit a three-year low at 245. We're in between seasons right now. It's been normally by this time, the summer air conditioning season would be in effect. But, I'm sitting in St. Louis, Missouri right now outside, and it's a lovely spring day in early June. So unusual weather patterns, cool and wet throughout the heartland, and that has obviously decreased demand for natural gas. Again, 245 per million BTU, down 4-5% on a month, and it looks, as I'm adding up the numbers, it's down about 18% on the year.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, but it just didn't get as cold as they were thinking it might have in the Northeast during the winter. Forget about the Midwest, was just disaster area, but Northeast,
yeah,
not that bad.
You know, we've got a glut of natural gas. We've got stranded natural gas supplies that can't get to market because of lack of pipelines. It can't get into the LNG facilities because of lack of port capacity and lack of build out. I mean, it's all coming. We addressed this in a white paper on Friday to subscribers, talking about America's oil and gas, shale oil and gas revolution. The title of it is titillating. I think it's called The Big Bad Bully on the Black Gold Block. So I would encourage subscribers to look look at that. And if you're not a subscriber, all I have to do is go on the website and sign up for free, and you have access to that white paper, a short white paper, about not much more than 2,000 words.
All right. Maybe we should have a special show to talk about that, too. I think it's really important.
Okay, take a look at it and let's schedule it.
Definitely, we'll do that for sure. Yeah, but the natural gas, boy, it just, you think, you know, they call that in the street, they call it the Widowmaker because, you know, for good reason, well, traders.
Yeah, so the real problem, and we'll give a little insight on what's going on for the show that we'll schedule, the special show. But for every shale oil well, which oil is our light crude oils in great demand throughout the world, those shale oil reservoirs, which are shallow, are gas driven. So for every shale oil well, you produce gas. And if you don't have any place to sell it, well, you pay people to sell it, to buy it in the Permian Basin, or you flare it. So it's a bit of a conundrum like right now, but it will be solved. Meanwhile, let's finish up with energy.
Sure.
Uranium fails to catch a bid once again, fell 5% on the month, week after week after week, just going a little bit down more and more, closed at 2385. That's a low over the last 11 months, a 5% loss. It's really waiting the Section 232 Trump administration actions. We expect those to happen in about 6 weeks.
Yep, no doubt it's going to happen for sure. And if you're not familiar with Section 232, just explain that, Mickey, about secure national security, you know, resources.
Yeah, the Trump administration did the same thing with steel and aluminum when they put tariffs on it. You get a ruling from the Department of Commerce about national security issues, that this commodity is of national security. Certainly uranium is. About 20% of the uranium we use goes into our nuclear subs and our aircraft carriers. So the fact that we are 98% dependent on foreign import supplies, about 40% of that Russia and Kazakhstan, we expect there to be tariffs put on outside uranium, maybe subsidies or credits for domestic uranium mining, a higher price anyway, and that will come down in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, and that will be good news for the domestic uranium energy, and I guess Canada too, probably, and
we'll
the industry.
See. I mean, we import a significant amount of uranium from Canada, and those tariffs could go on to Canada too. So who knows?
We'll see. We have to see about that. Hey, let's talk about our ratios. A really big one here. I mean, it's flashing in neon here, Mickey.
Yeah. The gold-silver ratio, we flagged that for the month at 89.6. You can round that up to 90. These are lows that we have not seen except for a four-year period from 1990 to 1993 when the price of silver was depressed at $4 or below.
After the hunts.
it's really getting into rarefied territory here. Meanwhile, platinum-palladium ratio with the is approaching its all-time low. It closed at 0.6. All-time low is 0.57. The platinum to gold ratio hit an all-time low at 0.61, blew through the previous metric. And you know, when gold's a safe haven and the other metals are not, those ratios are going to continue to go lower.
No doubt. And finally, we got one last one in energy. We always talk about that arbitrage. In fact, a leading financial publication picked this up all of a sudden. We're talking about the Brent to WTI ratio, which is also in rarefied territory now.
Well, it certainly is. It's at 1.21. This is a ratio we haven't seen since the oil crash of early 2015. A lot of this has to do with We've got WTI oil that is in great demand throughout the world, but we can't get enough of it to market. So I encourage people to go to my website and read that musing, and we'll address issues such as that.
Yep, Melissa is setting it up as we speak. Melissa will set up our next interview as we speak. Thanks to Melissa. Hey, make sure you go over to mercenarygeologist.com, get that white paper. And there's a lot more there for you. Sign up at our place, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Hey, the Mickey's Twitter feed is at Mercenary Geo. Ours is at Carrie Lutz. Mickey, always great talking to you. This has been a really exciting month. We had a lot to talk about here. And that's why we went over what we usually do. Usually it's about a 15-minute spiel. We cover all the relevant markets and we're done. But today we're closer to 25, and for very good reason. A lot of activity in these markets, and probably, you know, it's going to be a busy summer.
Well, I would expect so, Kerry, and greetings to everybody from St. Louis, Missouri, where I am at the Stanley Cup Finals, something that has not happened for the last 49 years. Let's go, Blues.
Okay, St. Louis Blues, we're betting on you here. All right, Mickey, hey, we'll talk to you next. Well, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks for our special oil coverage. We wanted to do that for a while anyway, which I'm really happy about. And then next month, it continues, as my old partner who is in the military said, Charlie Mike, which means continue mission.
Righto, Kerry. Take care.